So, imagine your organization gets a subpoena tomorrow.
Oh, wow. The ultimate nightmare scenario.
Right. Regulators are suddenly demanding access to like every piece of internal communication, every financial discussion, your audit trails in the last 5 years.
Yeah, that is a massive undertaking.
And if you're relying on one of those monolithic tech giants, like Microsoft or Google Workspace or any proprietary vendor to manage all that, you have to ask yourself, who actually owns that data?
Exactly. Who actually holds the keys to your compliance vault?
Exactly. And relying on these massive opaque ecosystems, it's not just a huge drain on your IT budget, which it is. I mean, they are expensive.
Oh, absolutely. The licensing fees alone.
Yeah, but it's also a fundamental surrender of your data sovereignty. And that actually brings us to the sponsor of today's deep dive, SafeServer.
Right.
Because SafeServer essentially flips the script on enterprise communication. They help organizations find, implement, and run open source solutions that are tailored to your exact compliance needs.
Which is so critical when you're dealing with strict legal requirements.
Yeah, exactly. Whether you're handling like email retention policies or protecting highly sensitive legal records, SafeServer guides you from the very first consulting phase all the way through to secure operation on servers located physically within the EU.
The physical location in the EU is a huge deal for data protection.
Huge. You get robust protection, you retain complete sovereignty over your encryption keys, and like we mentioned, you completely eliminate those premium licensing fees from the proprietary giants.
It's a win-win, really.
It is. So you can start taking control of your own infrastructure right now by visiting www.safeserver.de.
Because honestly, the question of who physically holds your keys, that's the definitive dividing line in digital security today.
Yeah.
I mean, if an external vendor holds the keys, you don't really have a secure system. You just have a permission slip.
That is so true. A permission slip, which actually makes this the perfect entry point for what we are unpacking today. So, welcome to the deep dive.
Glad to be here for this one.
Yeah, our mission for this session is to provide a beginner-friendly, easy entry point into a really fascinating piece of software called Schloiter.
Loiter, yes.
And we are pulling this directly from the official website and their GitLab repository.
Great sources.
So, whether you are a complete novice trying to understand how secure group communication actually functions, or you're an IT admin looking to upgrade your group's secure communications, we're going to decode the technical jargon for you.
Because it can get pretty dense, honestly.
Oh, incredibly dense.
Yeah.
Like, the official documentation defines Schloiter as a, quote, GPG-enabled mailing list manager with resending capabilities.
Yeah, that's a mouthful.
Right. Okay, let's unpack this because that sounds super technical. I like to think of it as like a highly secure digital bouncer or maybe a bilingual translator for group emails.
That's actually a really good way to look at it because we need to break down that first half, the GPG-enabled mailing list manager part.
Right, because what does that actually mean?
Well, it solves a very specific, mathematically brutal problem in cryptography. GPG relies on OpenPGT, which is an asymmetric encryption standard.
Okay, asymmetric, meaning two keys.
Right, exactly. Every user has two keys. A public key, which is like an open padlock you just hand out to the world.
I can give that to anyone.
Anyone. And then a private key, which is the unique physical key you keep hidden, and that's the only thing that unlocks the padlock.
So if I want to send you a secure message, I take your public padlock, lock my message inside a box, and send it over the internet. And even if someone intercepts it, it doesn't matter because you are the literally only person with the private key to open it.
Precisely. That's the mechanism. But now imagine trying to scale that up for a group.
Okay.
Let's say your organization has a management team of 50 people.
50 people, right.
If you want to send a single secure email to that entire group using standard OpenPGP, your email client has to encrypt that message 50 separate times
Wow.
using 50 different public padlocks.
Okay, that sounds like a total logistical nightmare for the person just trying to press send.
Oh, it's a massive computational bottleneck. But the administrative burden is honestly even worse.
How so?
Well, think about it. What happens if one of those 50 people loses their private key?
Oh, right, or someone leaves the company.
Exactly. Or a new person joins. The entire group has to constantly manually update their local address books with the correct public keys for every single member.
That's impossible to manage perfectly.
It is. And if one person has an outdated key for a colleague, the whole security chain fractures. It's known as the N squared problem of decentralized key management.
Okay, so this is where Schloiter steps in to kind of fundamentally alter the architecture of the group, right?
Exactly.
Instead of this chaotic web where everyone manages 50 different padlocks, Schluter acts as that highly secure digital bouncer I mentioned, standing at the door of the club.
Right, the central point.
Yeah, so the mailing list itself gets a single master padlock.
Yeah.
If I want to email the management team, I just encrypt my message once using the list's master public key, and I send it to the bouncer.
And then Bouncer Schluter takes over. It's the only entity that actually holds the private key for the list.
Okay, so it opens the box.
Yes. It receives your locked box, opens it, verifies that you are a legitimate subscriber, and then it does the heavy lifting.
Like re-encrypting it.
Exactly. Schluter automatically re-encrypts the message 50 times using the public keys of the current subscribers and then distributes it.
Wow. Okay. So the sender only ever needs to know one single key.
Just one. And the administrator can update the subscriber list centrally, so that whole N squared problem just completely disappears.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
But the documentation also emphasizes this gateway concept, right? The resending capability?
Yes, the resending aspect.
Which kind of introduces a fascinating vulnerability to me.
Yeah.
Because a steel vault is secure, sure, but only because nothing goes in or out.
Right.
But human communication doesn't work that way. Like, a legal team needs to receive emails from outside counsel. A journalist needs to get tips from an unencrypted source.
Absolutely.
So, as a layperson, I have to ask, how does this gateway process an external, completely unencrypted email without shattering the security of the internal subscribers?
It operates essentially as an automated cryptographic bridge.
Okay.
Let's say an external vendor sends a standard plain text email to the Schluter list address.
Just a normal email.
Just a normal email.
Okay.
Because Schluter sits on the server monitoring the traffic, it catches that plain text email before it ever hits the internal network.
Oh, I see.
It securely wraps the message, encrypts it using the internal subscriber's public keys, and delivers it securely to them.
Meaning the internal team maintains their strict cryptographic discipline. Like, they only ever see an encrypted message in their inbox.
Exactly.
What happens when they hit reply?
Yeah.
Because they're replying encrypted, right?
Right. So the process just reverses. The internal team drafts a highly secure encrypted reply, sends it to Schluter. Okay. Schluter decrypts the message, translates it back into a standard plain text email, and sends it out to the external vendor.
Wow. So the vendor just sees a totally normal email conversation.
Exactly. They don't have to install OpenPGP. They don't have to manage keys. No technical training required at all. It completely decouples the internal security protocol from the external user experience.
Decoupling that experience is so smart, but man, it must require a serious engine underneath.
Oh, it absolutely does.
Yeah, because looking at the GitLab documentation, the tech stack required to run this digital bouncer is pretty extensive.
It is a lot to take in at first glance.
It says it requires Ruby version 2.7 or higher, GNOPG for the cryptography, SQLite 3 for the database, OpenSSL, plus this specific array of Ruby gems like Active Record and Sinatra.
Yep, all of those are essential.
I mean, for a beginner or an IT volunteer looking at this, it just seems like an overwhelming amount of moving parts to configure. I'm intimidated just writing it on behalf of the listener.
It's totally fair to feel that way. If you attempt to compile all those dependencies from scratch, it is extremely complex.
Right.
But the developers know this. They've provided simplified installation packages for major platforms.
Oh, okay. Like what?
They've specifically tested on Debian version 12, codename Bookworm, as well as CentOS 7 and Arch Linux. They essentially prepackage that complex environment for you.
Okay, that is a huge relief. But there is one highly specific, fascinating detail from the README that we really have to talk about.
The entropy requirement.
Yes. The developers explicitly recommend running a random number generator daemon called Havaged on the server.
Ah.
They say this is to ensure the system won't get blocked by, quote, lacking entropy, especially during key generation.
Entropy is such a crucial concept in cryptography.
It really is. It's like, to explain entropy to a beginner, you basically need enough chaotic random ingredients to bake a truly unpredictable cryptographic cake.
That's a great analogy.
Because if you don't have enough entropy, the system can literally just stop. It gets blocked.
What's fascinating here is how this quirky technical requirement connects to the broader picture of true security. Well, encryption relies on genuine randomness, not just math. Algorithms are entirely deterministic. If you put the same starting numbers in, you always get the exact same output.
Which means if a hacker knows your starting numbers, they can reverse engineer your supposedly secure key.
Exactly. You need true chaos.
Right.
But a computer is a machine literally built to eliminate chaos. It processes logic sequentially.
Right.
So to find unpredictable inputs, a standard server looks for microscopic physical variations.
Like what kind of variations?
It might measure the exact milliseconds between keystrokes on a keyboard or tiny temperature fluctuations of the processor.
But a headless server sitting in a data center somewhere doesn't have a keyboard or a mouse.
Exactly. It's just quietly processing network requests. It isn't generating enough physical chaos.
And when that entropy pool drains, the cryptographic engine literally halts.
Right. It refuses to generate a predictable key. So the process blocks. And that's where Have-Edge becomes critical. It constantly analyzes unpredictable timing variations in the processor itself, acting like an artificial chaos blender.
I love that. We spend millions building hyperlogical data centers only to realize our security fundamentally depends on measuring the physical imperfections of the silicon itself.
It's beautifully ironic.
It really is. But moving from the physical hardware to the actual human beings writing the code, the ethos surrounding Schluter is equally fascinating.
The mission statement is incredibly powerful.
It is. Like, code doesn't just write itself. And the developers explicitly state they give their time and knowledge to help people with daily private communication. But also, and this is a direct quote from the sources in the struggle for personal emancipation, social and economic justice, and political freedom.
It's so rare for a technical manual to have such a clear philosophical stance.
Yeah. We're not endorsing any political side here, obviously. But just looking at their intent, it's clear they see open source software as a real tool for social change.
Absolutely. They recognize that privacy is a fundamental prerequisite for political organizing.
But, and here's the pushback. The reality of open source development is harsh.
Very harsh.
If you look at their GitLab page, which was created back in January 2017,
yeah,
it has over 1,600 commits.
Mm.
But right there, prominently, is this bold plea, maintainers wanted.
Yeah, that part is sobering.
The current team openly admits they have, quote, hardly any time left for the project. They don't want the project to die, but for a sustainable future, they say it needs new humans to care for it.
And that exposes a huge vulnerability in our digital infrastructure. Software isn't just a static object you build once and leave on a shelf.
No, it rots.
Exactly. Operating systems update, underlying libraries find vulnerabilities. If it isn't actively maintained, it breaks down.
And digital freedom relies on actual human labor, unpaid human labor often.
Which is a precarious position for everyone relying on these tools.
So, building on this call for new humans, if a beginner or a new maintainer actually wants to interact with the Schluter ecosystem, how do they get started?
The developers have structured it with dual options for administration.
Okay, what are they?
For traditional server admins, there is Schluter CLI, which is a command line interface. You manage everything in the terminal.
But that's not great for, like, an office manager.
No, not at all. Which is why they have an API built with that Sinatra gem we mentioned.
Oh, right.
And that allows for an optional web interface called Schluter Web. So users who prefer a browser can manage things graphically instead of using terminal request keywords.
Okay, so it's accessible.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the developers? Is it a chaotic environment for them?
Not at all. It's highly structured. They use a tool called SurSpec for automated code testing, and they're always trying to extend that test coverage.
That's smart.
Plus, they've adopted a formal code of conduct, and it's all licensed under the GNU GPL 3.0.
Which keeps it permanently open source, right?
Yeah, exactly. If we connect this to the bigger picture, this structured, welcoming documentation is exactly how open source projects try to lower the barrier to entry for beginners and potential new maintainers.
They need it to be welcoming if they want people to stay.
Absolutely.
Which, honestly, seamlessly transitions us back to the practical realities of deploying this kind of software, because implementing these solutions requires strategic planning. And that brings us back to our sponsor, SafeServer.
A vital partner in all of this.
Truly. Whether you are a business, an association, or any other group, there is so much to gain by switching to an open source solution like Schluter.
The gains in compliance and data privacy are massive.
Massive.
Yeah.
And the significant cost savings over those proprietary giants we talked about earlier.
You really can't understate the cost factor.
Right. And SafeServer can actually be commissioned for consulting. Whether the right fit for your organization is Schluter or maybe a comparable open source alternative, they help you figure it out.
They handle the heavy lifting.
Exactly. All the way to secure operation on EU servers. You can find more information at www.safeserver.de.
You know, exploring Schluter leaves me with a lingering question for our listeners to ponder on their own.
Oh, what's that?
If tools that are deeply vital for our political freedom Our compliance and our daily privacy are largely sustained by the dwindling free time of volunteer maintainers. What does that mean for the long-term fragility of our global digital infrastructure?
Wow. That is a heavy thought to end on, but so important to consider. Thank you so much for joining me on this exploration of the sources today.
It's a pleasure.
And thank you all for listening. We will see you on the next Deep Dive.